All right. Thanks for coming. My name is John Wilson, and you're here for the Investing Your Life, One Life at a Time workshop. If you were here for the marriage workshop, this is not the right one. That's over in the chapel with John Taylor. And I would invite you to go hear that one over this one, because some of you guys probably need marriage help more than you need discipleship help. If your marriage ain't right, discipleship ain't going to do you any good anyhow. So you get up and go meet with somebody at 6 a.m. Better know that your sweetheart is praying for you, and she's fighting for you, and she understands what you're all about. That's what I've had for 29 years. That's one of the reasons I married that lovely gal. 1985, we met at a Navigator conference. So, fellas, there's hope for you single guys.
Who, that's a different kind of conference.
Don't come to this one looking for a... It won't happen. Maybe by some miracle. Well, this workshop, we'll be looking at how to invest one life in the life of another person. How many here are involved in doing discipleship in some way? Show of hands there, good. How many are doing man-to-man? Only a few hands. Or are you just bashful, the rest of you? I got started doing man-to-man about 39 years ago by a fellow by the name of Danny Sullivan. I had just gotten saved about in 1975, November 3rd, 1975. I was in the Air Force, stationed at Dover Air Force Base. These guys were out, a Navigator guys were out knocking on doors, knocked on my door, and they came in, and they shared the gospel with me, and I still have it. This is my little treasure. I'll show it to you. This is it. He took that notebook paper and drew the bridge and opened the Bible up and went verse by verse with me. And I'm a visual learner, so that really helped in reading just a bunch of verses. And then on the back side, he door and a stick figure of Jesus. And behold, I stand at the door and knock. He who hears my voice and open the door with him and he with me. Well, I tell you what, when I heard that verse, that really spoke to my heart. And it says, John, is there any reason why you can't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? I said, no, there's not. So I prayed and asked Christ to come into my life that night. And my life changed. And it was a couple years later that I met Danny Sullivan, who really began to help me and disciple me. Well, I brought Danny through the workings of video, and we'll have Danny Sullivan speak to us this morning. Just a few moments.
The background is by accident, because my days... Well, this is a good moment, I hope, for y'all. I thought about shaving, but then I thought, man, this is a men's conference. I think that's the time to be growing a beard. All right. I'll be reading notes, pushing the pause button, trying to get this to 1 or 2 minutes. And find my place in my notes here. Well, why am I here? Well, I think I'm here. And John's cool workshop is to broaden your view how God can do a really great work through you. And for example, I am a part of John's life, and God's working through him to do the great things that God is doing through John. Then I left, and someone else started helping him. And then there are times in John's life where no one in particular was helping him. Okay, foot stomp. You may be that particular person helping somebody in the pause. Not really 5 P's, if there's still 5. John is going to share with you and realize that you never know. I think John will tell you about me, so I won't do that part. He might have cool pictures, too. I'm supposed to have verses and references for his stories in there. But I do not, and if I don't do this, it won't get done. Jesus gave talents to these guys, and the question is, if you had one talent, would you be rejoicing, as it tells us to rejoice always? And in your implementation of that seemingly lesser bottom of the barrel skill, you know, that's a world view, by the way. In most cases, we would not. And in my 36 years, I have seen some of you guys who the best you can do is share 5 verses, and you don't realize you could change the world. Okay, I'm back. Now, there are many reasons for not accepting our position in the body of Christ, check out Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But I know if you're an Av guy memorizing verses, most of us did Romans 1 and 2. But the verse I want my guys to memorize is Romans 12, 3. That is self-awareness. With the intent of self-awareness of how you work in the body of Christ. Very important. There's also 1 Timothy 6:6 where it says, godliness is a great gain when accompanied by contentment. All right, so look that up. I probably went fast, but 1 Timothy 6:6. So what it would say is, Romans, the key is contentment in your part in the body of Christ. You may be the head, you may be some bad guy or something like that, but maybe you're just a school teacher in New York and you can help a guy with their 5 verses. That's as far as you can go. You need to kick them out and move them to somebody else that can help them. But man, you could change the world. Really could. Point one is, if you're the guy with one talent, that's point one. Be content. It's a great game. Point two is, how do you do that? That's in Romans 12, knowing yourself and knowing how you fit into the body of Christ. The reference for the talents is Luke 19:12 forward and Matthew 25:14 forward. What John is going to tell you is not too hard with 1, 2, or 3 talents. It's just really important to do what I call sing your song, your laborer's song. I'll end with Acts chapter 3. When the guy begged, was it Peter? Oh well, Peter and James. When he begged that, those guys on their way in to the temple somewhere, they said, money and gold we don't have, but what we have we give to you. And I think that is a good principle. It's not teaching to tell us what to do, but what a great example to give what you have and not try to give what you don't have. So John's going to give you a whole bunch on how to give what you have. I love you guys.
All right. Joining me is Lonnie Doherty. Lonnie and I met in Stillwater. We moved to Stillwater. Lonnie's going to tell you a little bit about himself. Go ahead, Lonnie.
I'm from Stillwater. I'm married. I'll be 35 years this year. I have 4 children and 2 grandchildren now. I became a Christian at a very young age. My parents, my grandfather was a pastor, and my parents were very involved in church. And through a Billy Graham film at about 6 years old, I just understood my need, that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior, and very simply asked Jesus to come into my heart. And didn't tell anybody for a couple of weeks because I was scared they were going to make me get baptized. And I didn't want that preacher putting my head under the water. But I finally told my parents, and they said, you don't have to get baptized till you're ready. So I had to duck the preacher for a lot of years, you know, and I'd try to wait till he was shaking somebody else's hand at the back to get around him, because then, you know, if he caught me, he was going to say, when are you going to let me baptize you? But I came to know John in Stillwater. We were going to church together, and I'd had some Navigator influence in my life. I roomed with a Nav guy in college for a semester, and through the Baptist Collegiate Ministry, BSU back then, I'd had some people encourage me to memorize scripture, but never had any discipleship experience. And John came up to me one time at church and said, hey, have you ever memorized scripture? I said, yeah, I've worked at it a little bit, you know, and done some, but not been very consistent. And he said, would you like to get together and encourage each other? And I said, yeah. And that started, I don't know how long we met, a long time, 10 years maybe or more.
I think so.
And it was a great relationship for me. John was very encouraging, helped me in a lot of areas of my life, with my business, with my marriage, with my children. John began to introduce me to other men that could help me and encourage me to get time with them. And so, you know, I had some very fruitful times. Never forget the first time John Crawford walked into my business and he said, you need some help around here. That doesn't look very good.
And so
anyway, John introduced me to other men that could point me toward Christ and encourage me and strengthen me. So I'm very thankful for the time John and I got to spend together and for him encouraging me. And I've been able to meet with a lot of other young men since then and encourage them because of John's help in my life. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, why don't you pray for us?
All right. I'll do it. Father, we come to you today asking your Holy Spirit to guide us and use the words John says to influence us, to turn us toward Christ. Father, may we be encouraged to and point them towards you and get them a step closer, step farther down the road to following you and trusting you and believing in you. Father, teach us this morning, open our hearts, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's a joy to be here. We're going to be going over what Danny talked about in his video. You know, we were only together for a couple of years before he got PCS to Germany. And I remember that time when it came, my heart just sunk, knowing that he was leaving me. And if, you know, if you build a relationship, friendship with somebody, and then all of a sudden they're taken out, and it's not going to be the same. One of the things that Danny passed on to me was the importance of getting help. He told me, he said, John, when I leave, nobody's going to pick up on you. Well, he wasn't lying about that either. Because as soon as he left, there was nobody. He said, what you want to do is you want to call the NAV rep and tell him you want to get some time with him. Well, I knew the NAV rep. So Craig Henderson, I called him up. I said, Craig, can I start meeting with you? And so he said that'd be fine, and we did. We met for up until I left to go to Glen Eyrie in 79, where when I got to Glen Eyrie, I did the same thing. I started looking around. I said, well, who here can help me? And then a guy by the name of Harvey Cox showed up at Glen Eyrie, and I asked Harv, I said, can you and I get some time together? And he said, sure. So Harv and I began to meet. And then I met another guy by the name of John Crawford. And John Crawford asked me, we were sitting and having breakfast one morning, he says, John, what are you doing with your life? I was in my 20s then, and he said, what are you doing with your life? I said, well, I really don't have anything going. He said, how would you like to come to Oklahoma City and move in with Helen and I? And I said, man, that'd be great. I don't have any other schedule, so I'll just take that plan. So I moved down to Oklahoma City in 82. And then a couple years later, about 3 years later, I met my wife. And in 87, we were married. And right now, she's praying for me. And I appreciate that. She let me know that she was going to be praying for me during this time. And there's been many mentors. You'll have many, he said, you have many fathers. Well, there's been maybe the one guy that helped you get started, but he's not around anymore. That doesn't mean you're not teachable or you can't learn anymore. It means you need to find somebody else. You get relocated, move to another city. Man, start praying, for God to send you a man that can help you. You need help, guys. You won't make it on your own. I was meeting with this young man. He's in his 30s, he's a school teacher. And I just started meeting with him. I met him at church. By the way, it's a good fishing hole. Church is a good fishing hole. Find fish that you can train and disciple. And he asked me, I gave him my testimony a week before, and he came back and he said, now, for 40 years, how is it that you've made it or stayed in the Word? I thought, wow, that's a great question. I don't think nobody's ever asked me that before. But I have an answer. I said, I got two things. I said, one is commitment to the Word of God, and secondly, accountability to someone else. I said, that's being in the Word, in Scripture memory, quiet time, Bible study, but also the knowing that I can't make it on my own. There has to be someone else that you just left you alone. And it says in Genesis that it's not good for a man to be alone. So, you know, right at the very beginning, God has said that it's not good for us to be alone. Jesus was alone. He was alone for 40 days and 40 nights, right? Fasting. And what happened? The tempter came and tempted him with three different temptations. And so, you know, you and I are going to be alone, and temptation is going to come. And you need somebody there to encourage you. Goal of man to man is that we might bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ. Colossians 1:28. It says in the J.B. Phillips, so naturally we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet. We teach everyone we can all that we know about him so that we may bring every man up to his full maturity in Christ. I really like that because so naturally we proclaim Christ. So it should be a natural part of your being that, you know, as a believer, that people ought to know that you're Christian. I work at Dell, also associate staff with the Navigators, but to do my tent making, I work there, and this is a young kid that sits behind me. I work in a call center and do tech support calls. He said after work one day, he says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." How'd you know? He said, "Well, your life is different." He says, you say things that are different." Well, we talked to an hour. He's not a believer. He's lost. And then another time, he said to me, "Would you pray for my mom? She has cancer." I said, "Ken, I'll be glad to pray for your mom." And so then I'll ask Ken, "Hey, how's your mom doing with the cancer?" So living your life, and where the idea is that you bring every man. See, notice it's man, and it's not church. It's man. To his full maturity in Christ. So that's our goal, and that's been my goal with when I meet with Lonnie is to help him to mature. And it's it's life on life. You'll see I put in there commitment, friendship, heart to heart, and not focusing so much on the mechanics or the methodology, because we can really get hung up in the methods. I've seen guys get together with their notebooks at a restaurant. And I think, is that a relationship or is that, are we just trying to get some methods? We're at a one-day conference and I meet with a guy by the name of Victor. I've been meeting with him. He's down in Midwest City and he's an engineer out at Tinker. And I brought him to the one-day conference that they mentioned last night. This fellow asked me, he says, "Now, when you do man-to-man, John, what do you do?" Well, Victor was standing right there. And I said, "Now, hey," now without any idea what Victor was going to say, I thought, you know, here's the real test, right? Let's see what the guy that you've been meeting with says. All right? How many want to do that here, right? Just on the spot. And I said, "So, Victor, what do we do when we do man-to-man?" And Victor's first answer was, "We talk." And I thought, yes, that's right. We talk. That's right. He got that. See, I've been working with him on that. Secondly, though, he said was, "But we do scripture memory and Bible study." But that wasn't the primary thing. See, that relationship, that was what he remembers. When we get together, we don't get down and just crack the book and start going through the verses. Now we sit down and we'll show you here in a few moments. Lonnie and I are going to role play a little bit in front of you what we do in a man-to-man session together. So it's a relationship. If discipleship, the way I see discipleship, it's a relationship and a program or vision. You need both. You have to have a relationship. If you just have the relationship without any of the material or any of the program, then you won't produce disciples. You'll just have nice fellowship. And we have a lot of that. If you just focus on the knowledge without the relationship, you won't produce a disciple either, because I've not seen too many disciples that come out of just reading and doing a Bible study together. I've seen guys that have a relationship with somebody and incorporating the Bible study and scripture memory and all that together, and that produces results. That produces disciple makers. We're going to be looking at the five P's. Now, I stole three of these P's from Skip Gray. A message on man to man, and I thought, I'll listen to what old Skip has to say. So he gave three, and I added two. I thought, well, three is good, but I think there's a couple more P's that need to be put in there. And to make it my own, we did that. The first one is pattern, and that is what you do. What do you do? Okay, there's a pattern. When you meet together, there's something that you do together. You do as you've been done with. How many have heard that before? You do as you've been done with. And that's right. When you meet with somebody, they're going to do what you do. Hopefully they're going to repeat the process. That's what you want, is to pass on. You want them to do what you do. One of the things I learned from watching my mentors like Crawford and Danny and some of the others is the thing that was common about it was that it was easy, simple, it was doable, and it was passed on. There was nothing in there that I thought, man, I don't think I can do that. Have you ever been in a group where you walked away and thought, man, I don't think I can do that? Have you ever been in that situation or a workshop like that where, boy, whew. Well, it doesn't need to be that way. It should be very easy, very passed on. How has it been that way for you, Lonnie? The pattern, can you speak to that?
Yeah. John started me one of the first times we met with Beginning with Christ and then 7 minutes with God and then kind of from there, we might have done Going On with Christ too. He started me with, we just each read a paragraph and took turns, reading back and forth. And John told me much later, he said, doing that, you also get an idea of if the guy can read and if he's struggling with that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, you help them where they're at. But when I start with a new guy, that's what I do. We start with the Beginning with Christ. And usually on the second time we meet, the first time I try to tell them kind of what I'm about and what I'd like to do and see if they're interested and would you want to meet together weekly and go over some scripture and just encourage one another. And then the second time we're going to do Beginning with Christ. And the next time we're going to do 7 minutes with God and just encourage them to get started in that consistent daily quiet time.
Yeah. Now that was impromptu. Okay. I didn't have to worry about what Lonnie was going to say. Everything he just said is absolutely right on. So that's what you want for the guys that you're working with. Then we schedule a time. And usually for me, I'll try to get a guy together in the morning for breakfast. I don't have to be to work till 8:30. So I don't mind getting up and meet a guy. I meet one guy at 6 o'clock. That means at 5:30 I'm up. That was the best he could do. I said, well, I guess that's gonna have to work. And he teaches school, so I just said, well, we'll meet. Because he's hungry and he wants to meet. So it's hard to say no. And we try to keep the time flexible, because life happens, all right? How many here are young dads? Any young dads here? Yeah? See some hands? All right. Kids get sick. So I've gotten, a text, Wade, Tuesday night, hey, Wade, we're getting together tomorrow morning? No. You text back, no, kid's sick. Okay, no problem. Well, there's next week. We can meet next week. See, so, life happens, and you have to be flexible in your schedule. Don't try to make it a dogmatic thing where you have to meet every week. Yes?
Flexibility is the key to air power.
Yeah.
But flexibility is also the key to discipleship.
Very good. That's right. Stay flexible. That's kind of the pattern. You meeting at a certain time during, make sure you set a time. Though set the time. You're going to miss it, but it, you know, occasionally. But you know, Victor and I meet every other Saturday at Cracker Barrel. So he comes up from Midwest City, and I come from Yukon. That was a midway point for us, and they also have a good breakfast. So, and I pay for the breakfast. All right. So I don't know if your budget allows for that, but if your budget allows, I'm on NAV staff, so I have an expense. We have donors that give to us, so that kind of defers my expenses that way. So that, but even before that, I was paying for the guy's breakfast. I figured, you know, he's coming. It's a way to serve. They like to show up for breakfast, especially if you're paying for it. All right, so the second one is principle, and that is what to impart. So it needs to be practical, a meaningful application from the study and meditation of the Word, and keep it simple. And as Lonnie was talking about, the Beginning with Christ booklet, I like using the simple tools. I like keeping it simple. I don't get into these big Bible study books. I know guys like to do these big Bible study books, but I have been doing Beginning with Christ now for over 30 years. I do it, and I never get tired of doing it either. It's never old for me. If it ever gets old for you, you better start looking at something else and search your own heart to see what's going on there. And then coupled with that, I do lessons on assurance. I never get tired of doing that Bible study, never. You know why? Because what's exciting is watching this guy doing that Bible study with you for the first time. That's what's exciting, is watching him as he's going through lessons on assurance, assurance of salvation. We go through that, and at the very end, that last question, how do you know you have eternal life? And they get to answer that question, and you get to hear it. And it's exciting to hear what they say. Or we get over to assurance of victory on temptation. And then there's a question in there, what temptation do you have a problem with? And when they write down that answer, you're going, oh wow, that's quite a, okay, so I know what we've got to work on. See, and that kind of gives you some clues as to how you can start helping this person. What do you do, Lonnie, in the way of what to impart? What do you impart?
I like to, once I get them established in a quiet time, tell them that we're going to try to share something each week that we picked up in our quiet time that week. And I try to have something to share, you know, and then hopefully they'll have been doing their quiet time and have something to share too.
Yeah, so it's something like that. See, it's just simple. Anything that we said so far that's difficult? Yes, Greg.
Hey, yeah, John, I just wanted to add that the materials that you use are reproducible.
Yes, that's right. You can get these on NAV Press. I brought copies. I'll show you later on what those books look like. If you're not familiar with the NAV material, NAV Press has the Beginning with Christ series and Lessons on Assurance, Going on with Christ. I use all those. It's 7 Minutes with God, great little quiet time book, booklet. I mean, 7 minutes. And there's Greg's holding up there that. It's another version of that's the combination of those two books of the Lessons on Assurance and Going on with Christ.
You always do a version.
In the beginning, I do. Not always do we do that, because sometimes the fellowship is what gets to be the thing that's important. One of the things, too, in the fellowshipping is you are trying to help a guy. So one of the things I try to do is to find out areas in his life that he's struggling with. For example, I met with a guy who was on his second marriage. And I said to him, how long were you married the first time? He said, 7 years. I said, how long have you been on this one? 7 years. I said, you want this one to last? He said, yes. I said, let me give you a verse that you work on. 1 Peter 3:7. Okay, so you're going to get the marriage verse anyway that John Taylor is going to give you. 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way as someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of Christ, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Now that verse is one of my favorites as far as counseling a married guy. And I told him, I said, look, do what this verse says. There's two things in here it tells you to do. First one, it says to understand her. Well, to understand her, what does that mean, Lonnie?
You got to be a student of your wife.
Be a student of your wife. That was the right answer. So, you learn. How do you do that, Lonnie? How have you become a student of your wife?
Well, pay attention to things she says and try to remember.
Okay.
She remembers most of the things we say.
That's right.
My dad. Yeah. If I'm not trying, things she says just go right on over.
That's right. So, you want to learn what your wife likes and what she doesn't like. I don't think it's that hard. What's hard is what's between this right here, right? We learn to listen, and that's why God gave you two ears, I think. So you have the benefit of hearing it twice. So you want to address that. I mean, look at things. There's the guys make fun of the honey-do list. Well, that's not so bad. That's a great idea. Keep a list. You know, my wife was looking at the carpet in our house, noticing, you know, it's kind of getting old and you know, it needs to be cleaned. And I thought, yeah, I could go clean it one more time, or maybe we should do something else. I said, honey, what would be better? What else would you like? Is there another option? How about laminate on the floor? Oh, okay. We might be able to do that. Anything else? Well, I'd like to tile the kitchen. Okay. Well, let's check our budget and see if we could do all that. And yeah, we could do that. Looks like we could. That was a doable thing. So we spent weekends going to different places to look at tile and laminate, and then finally we had it put in, installed. But we have laminate floors and tile in the bathrooms and the kitchen, and my wife is happy. She is smiling, I'm telling you. And now we're looking for an area rug for the living room, see? Now we're going out and we're looking at all these rugs, see? But you learned, see, that now, is that something I like to do? No. I don't care about area rugs. But what I do care about is seeing that smile on her face. That I care about. Yes, Greg.
Great resource there. Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman.
Okay, there's a resource for you. You want to do books? You can do that. Or you could memorize 1 Peter 3:7. All right, and that won't cost you a dime. You memorize that and meditate on that verse, because Joshua 1:8, who knows Joshua 1:8? Go ahead and quote it real quick.
It could. This rule of the law shall not depart from your mouth, that you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all of your
heart. Very good. So you hear that? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all of your heart. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have success.
Joshua 1:8.
Good navigators. Remember, 4 and a half. So that verse is the key to why we memorize Scripture. It's not memorizing Scripture that changes you. It's what? What's the word?
Being careful.
It's the... No, it's not. It's the...
Have obedience.
It's the... To do it, there's something to... Do you know what it is, Lonnie? What is the key to the verse of Joshua 1:8?
Meditating.
See, he got it. It's the meditating on God's Word, not memorizing it. You want to memorize it, okay.
So you can meditate
on it day and night. And when you meditate on it day and night, what will happen? Then you will obey it. That's why Christians don't live a victorious life, because they're not meditating on God's Word. And if you don't meditate on it, how in the world are you going to do it if you're not able to meditate on it? So you begin to meditate. One of the things I do in my quiet time now is I take out my Scripture memory verses. I've had them memorized for all these years. Well, the one thing that occurred to me one day, you know, what have I actually sat down and meditated on these and just prayed these back to God and just asked God, God, how am I doing on this verse that I memorized years ago? And I begin to, now I got some confession time coming. Man, I am not doing well on this verse at all. And I've memorized this years ago. And so I'm finding my quiet time now. First thing I do is get my scripture memory verses, my back review, and I'm starting to go and pray through those verses. Anything you want to add there, Aunt Lonnie? Sounded good. Number three is problem. Sharing your problem. Does anyone here not have any problems? Okay, no hands went up. Oh, we're all good. We have problems. You know, one of the things that I found beneficial was when Danny would share some of his problems with me. Or John Crawford would talk about some of his problems. The struggles he was going. I think, you have problems? Really? That's hard to believe. I mean, you're in the Word. And I'm like, what do you mean you got a problem? Openly sharing the struggles that are going on in your life. Why? Because you want to be vulnerable. You've heard that word, vulnerability? Transparent. That develops that brings about a trust in that relationship, doesn't it? When you're sitting down over a cup of coffee at McDonald's, and man, you just so, you know, well, I tell you what's going on at church? I'm telling you, that pastor, I don't know about him. He's a knucklehead when it comes to discipleship. I don't know if I'm ever going to get through to him, you know? See? It could be his
children.
You know, they're struggling with your kids. You know, they're having a hard time. Discipline. Or they get into mixed up in the wrong deal. And I don't know what to do. And so you're sharing about, well, you know, they did this.
What you said made me think of one thing, and that is that, you know, like he was talking about Crawford, you've got problems, you're in the Word. There was a time in my life that I felt like I ought to be that way, that if I was in the Word and doing discipleship, that I wasn't going to have any problems, that God was just going to bless my life and everything was going to go wonderful. You know, I really went through some difficult times with a couple of sons, and one became a heroin addict, and the other one was very rebellious and you know, left home real young. And I was just thinking, God, why am I going through that? But we're all going to face them. It's just part of life. And so just because we're doing the right thing, just like you thought with John, we're going to face problems that we're going to deal with.
Yeah.
Share your joys and divide your sorrows.
Sorry.
Share your joys, divide your sorrows.
Yes.
Very good. Very good.
If it might not be, I got it from someone else.
Of course. Yes, back here.
Might be a simple concept, but I remember meeting with guys at the restaurant for years, and I had a guy ask me, have you ever been over to his house?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you even know where he lives? And sometimes he spent 15 minutes in his house. You actually have a way better idea of what his life is like and what his struggles are like.
I actually did that. This guy that was on his second marriage, he had some computer problem. I said, man, I'll come over and fix your computer for you. So I'm over there, and then I heard his wife. And I went, oh my goodness. He has got some problems. So our man-to-man changed after that. I mean, just being in his house, that was earth-shattering. That's good. Spending personal time, if they'll let you come to their home, yes. I might not have that opportunity just because the way things are.
Vice versa, make sure he comes.
Come to your house. Yeah, invite them in your home. Sure, we've done that too. We've had people in our home for dinner.
Basically, what I hear you saying, change shoes. You walk in his shoes and let him walk in your shoes temporarily.
That's right. That's like any good Baptist would do. I'm just kidding. I'm going along with your earlier joke. Okay. Be transparent. This is a good time, the heart-to-heart time together. That really draws our hearts together. And I find that, you know, when I do that, then the other guy is a lot more willing to share his problems with me. And then that becomes an opportunity to go to the Word of God and open it up and share with him how he can help that situation. And always try to use the Word of God as a way to help him, not your own kind of your experience. It's not always your experience that's helpful. It's usually you've got one verse that you can share with them. You can make a big difference because it's God's Word. That makes a whole big difference there. Then we pray for each other. I try to, of course, we just say, give thanks for our food when we get it. But at the end of our time, I try to pray. And I'll either, sometimes I pray or I'll ask, you know, like Jim. I'll meet with Jim at McDonald's. Hey, Jim, if he didn't give thanks for our food, I'll say, hey, Jim, would you mind praying for us before we leave? One of the things I saw that in John's life, John Crawford, many, many times. I would either be on the telephone with him, or we would just finish having some time together. And, I'd be sharing something, and John would just put his hand on my shoulder like this and say, John, let me pray for you, brother. And I'll tell you what, that was so good. And knowing that John was praying for me. And so I do that now with the guys I meet with. And because I learned that from John. Or if I'm on the phone, I meet with Peter Axip and I meet with Mike Thomas. Those are, when we moved down to, back from Stillwater to Oklahoma City, I knew that I needed to get plugged in again. I met with Crawford for a while, a long time, until Jesus called him home. But John, one of the things that John said to me, he says, one day, he says, John, you know who Peter Axip is, don't you? I said, oh yeah. He says, you get along with him, all right? I said, oh yeah, I get along with Peter. He said, why don't you give Peter a call and get some time with him? Well, Peter and I have been meeting now for several years now. We meet every other Friday at IHOP for man-to-man time together, just encouraging. And we sometimes will review verses together and share with what's going on and what we're getting out of the Word together. But it's an encouraging time. And then, since I was meeting with Peter, well, Peter's a single guy. So I realized that I really can't talk to him really about my wife and my marriage and the kids. And so I begin to pray about who that other person might be that could do that. And then I thought, Mike Thomas, he doesn't live very far from me. I'm going to give Mike Thomas a call. So I did. I called Mike and said, hey, Mike, would you like to get some time together? And so he and I meet. So we alternate. I alternate Fridays. Meet with Axip and Mike. And it's been great meeting with Mike. Because, see, Mike, and since he's married and has kids and grandkids and so on, and it's really an encouragement to me. Because I can talk to him about the marriage portion of things. With Peter, he could talk about it, but it's not on the same level that Mike understands. And so you need that guy. So you could have both. You could have a guy like an Axip and a Thomas in your life that, you lean. I love getting with Peter because he's a thinker. That's why I meet with him. He thinks. He doesn't just say whatever is, he says things that make you think. And I need that. I need somebody to come right straight at me, full force, and mow me down. And I get up and go, realize the tractor trailer just hit me, and figure out, okay, John, now you need to pray about that. Okay. You didn't like what he said, but that doesn't matter. You just, you believe that God's working using him. So do you do that, Lonnie? You pray with the guys that you meet with? How's that been for you?
Been good.
Okay.
Like it was for me and you.
And when we spent that all them times up at your shop praying, remember?
Yeah, I thought about it. We met several different times over the years. And our schedules would change or something.
Right.
Meet in the morning early and stop at my shop and pray there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of years at lunch.
Yeah.
But we were flexible.
We were flexible.
Yeah.
And we prayed for your shop, that God would prosper it. And we asked God to send a disciple maker to, and I think Steve Moore and Steve Presswood were answered our prayers when we prayed for that. I remember that. Sitting out there when it was cold in your little Dodge Dakota pickup truck, because it's too cold to go in your shop and pray. There are limits, guys. So progress is the next one, and that's the fifth one. And I put my goals, his goals, and God's goals. So what do you mean by that, John? Well, so I have my goals when I meet with somebody. And so I show up with our stuff that we're going to do, Bible study, whatever. But then there's this guy's goals. And he's got a set, a different set of goals why he wants to meet with you. Then there's God's goals. And those are always more interesting than the one I came up with. Because that's where I think, wow, this. And when you walk away from that, when you go, wow, that was God. God was, I didn't have any idea that was going to happen. Or we were going to talk about that. I didn't, no idea. But God. So you give room for God to, yeah, you have your plan and he might have his plan. But make sure you let God's plan get it to take precedence over all of that. So, and then the other thing is that, and Lonnie talked and I talked about this, and we decided, what? Go ahead and share about that progress.
Well, I've asked John to maybe put progress in there because I felt like a lot of men that you'll meet with, you might meet with them two or three times, and they just, you just can't get them to show up anymore. And maybe it just wasn't a fit. Or maybe you'll meet with them a few months. But we're not going to bring somebody to perfection in Christ.
Right.
But we can help them progress down the road a little bit. We can give them a little and get your licks in where you can. And if it doesn't work out and it's not going to be a good fit, well, that's okay. You shared with them what you could and you tried to give them a little more and help them become more Christ-like. So I think that's very important that we don't get caught up in getting upset when a man doesn't want to meet with us anymore. You know, you just share what you can and help each one as much as you can. And I've tried to be open. If a guy comes to me and asks for help, you know, I try to find time, you know, and give them what I can. So.
Yeah. All right. So that's what I do. The same thing. If you help the guy a step further than he was when you first met him, you have helped him. That's what Gene Ward used to say. You know, that has given me such freedom. When I'm meeting with somebody, I don't get into the mode of, boy, I'm just, you know, I'm going to hang on to this guy and I'm going to make sure he gets through this. No, if he quits on you, well, he quits on you. But if he's memorizing, you know, he's got five verses memorized, well, you've helped him. He didn't have those five verses memorized before you met him, did he? No. And those five, you never know what God's going to do with him later on as a result of that. Some of us need a little break from the action, you know, and then a little maturing. Question back here.
Yes, sir. So how often would you say, I know this question is probably somewhat subjective, but how often would you say you come across these individuals who might give you partial or they're all for a short period of time and then disappear?
Okay, so the question is, how long should you hang on to somebody?
How often do you come across these people that just can't get on?
Okay, so how often, okay, what's the frequency of the type of people that you run into? You know, I don't know that you can put a number on that. Can you, Mark?
Experiences, yeah.
It varies. And I wouldn't get caught up in that, really. Don't make that your thinking about, you know, well, I don't know, because, you know, I'm 60 years old. I don't worry. I know I do, you know, that's just one guy I meet with, and I think we've reached he's got what he wants. And so he's now in a Bible study. He wasn't doing that before. I challenged him to get in a Bible study and lead it. And so he texted me back there, yeah, I'm in a Bible study on Monday mornings now. Oh, wow, hey, that's news. And they want me to lead it. Oh, boy, that's good. That's better. And I said, what about us getting together? Well, I might be able to fit that in. So I texted him back. I said, maybe you need to pray about this, about getting more time together. Because I, you know, at my age, I'm getting a little more pickier than I was when I was younger. So when you're younger, do whatever you can. Get after it. When you get older, you'll figure it out. You know, as time goes on, as age comes on, you're gonna be a little more pickier about what, you know, when you go out fishing, Lonnie, you're not grabbing every, you know, when you were a kid or you watch those little kids that you take fishing with you, man, they want to keep that little guy. And you said, no, throw that back, man. That's too little. You don't want that. So when you're younger, it's fine. It, you know, as you get older, you'll learn. Yes, good question.
I think kind of a related question. So although flexibility can be important, I wonder, what are your thoughts on sort of setting an expectation early when you start meeting with someone so that you do see that there's a commitment there, so that they don't just kind of fall off the mat, but you're not able to arrange consistency in meetings?
I think that's good. I think like Brad shared the other night in his testimony Thursday night, I thought that was good that John Repast asked him, you know, why don't you pray about this for, you know, let's both pray about this. I've done that sometimes. I've had, I don't always do that. I always, like this kid that I worked with, my wife and I were teaching fourth graders at the church, Sunday school. And this guy showed up in our classroom and he was going to do vacation Bible school for the summer. So he was in there checking out his room to talk. And then somehow we came up with scripture memory he was interested in doing that. So I asked him if he'd like to get together. And so we did. So now he's already into the TMS and he's working his way. He did beginning with Christ, going on with Christ. And now he's working his way through this guy laminated all his verse cards and, I never seen anything like that, but I didn't really, you know, put a challenge to him then. I did now. I mean, I just texted him, hey, you want to do this? We need to pray about this. You want to continue to grow? Yes.
Hey John, what you just said, I think draws a little bit of a distinction between initially following up on a really young Christian and then taking somebody further.
Yes. There's a distinction, yes.
So you're committed to whatever at the beginning.
That's right.
But then you come to a point where you realize that what he needs is that commitment.
That's right. That's very good. Yes. So there is a distinction, and you kind of can sense that, figure that out. A young Christian doesn't know anything about commitment, so don't expect that. Okay, because they're not going to know anything about commitment. All they know is, hey, could we get together and I could help you get started in scripture memory or doing some Bible study, helping you just start get going and growing in your relationship with God. Yes?
To piggyback off that thought, one of the things that our pastor always talks about is just don't be surprised when an unbeliever behaves like an unbeliever. Likewise, with an immature believer, don't be surprised when an immature person behaves immaturely. It's just what we should expect. It's just being
mature. Very good. Yes. Don't get caught up in the real hard commitment. I mean, anything you would add to that, Lonnie?
I've had more dropouts from like college kids or, you know, that are begging, I need somebody to disciple me. And then, you know, you meet with them a few times and they tell you they got a girlfriend. First time you ask about their relationship and are they keeping it godly? And maybe we don't want to meet anymore. And, you know, so, but, you
just, like I said, you get your licks in where you can, so you just try. And it's hard to know who's going to be successful and who's going to, you know, I've had guys' wives come to me and say, you know, my husband really needs some help, and I think he'd like to meet with you, but he's just bashful to ask, you know, would you help my husband? And then, you know, have a many-year relationship with that guy and really be able to have a good influence on him. So you just never know, but I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just try to help them all where you can.
Right. So, yes, you're sowing
a little bit, whatever you can do.
I planted at Paul's water, but God was causing the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who sows is anything, but God who causes the growth. So that, just keep that in mind, that you may be watering or you may be planting, but you'll be doing something, okay? And you'll have some significance in their life. I remember discipling a youth pastor up in Stillwater, and we met. I had so much fun with this young guy. He and I met at McDonald's, and we were doing the beginning with Christ, and I had him memorize 1 John 5:11-12, and this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and in this life is the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And when he finished memorizing that, he had this smile on his face, and I said, John, what's so funny? And he said, I can't believe I'm memorizing a verse here at McDonald's. I said, that's because you've been brainwashed to think that every Christian activity you do happens behind the four walls of that church. And I said, this is my church office right here at McDonald's. Amen. This is where I do business with guys. Okay? And you know what? He got a guy and began to meet with him at Brahms. I didn't know. Now, this is good. I did not know that John Wugamuth did not like McDonald's until one day we're at church and we're talking to the pastor and telling, you know, John and I meet at McDonald's for breakfast. And he said, McDonald's? I said, yeah, McDonald's. Why? He hates McDonald's. We can never get him to go to McDonald's. I said, well, he's been coming to breakfast with me for a long time, man. So I said to John, I said, Woogie, you don't like McDonald's? No, I hate McDonald's. I said, what do you like? He said, Brahms. I said, let's go to Brahms. Anyway, I put some verses. We're not going to go through those verses. They're for you can look at those later.
So what you're saying is find out what place he don't like to go, and if he'll meet you there, there's a possibility of
That's right. That's right. So don't recruit to an organization, but recruit to a movement. So don't recruit to the Navigators or to your church, but recruit them to Jesus. Now, Lonnie and I are going to do this little role-playing as promised. And we have a few minutes that we're going to go through this. I brought some treasures along here for Lonnie and I to look at. And I'm kind of going to give you an idea of what we do or what I do when I meet with a fella. Well, this will be like at McDonald's. And so Lonnie and I, and I meet with Lonnie and I say, Lonnie, you know, glad you could come and meet with me and get some time together. And I want to share with you some things that have helped me in my own personal walk and growth with God. And I think these will be helpful to you. And so...
You might consider seeing if your wife's got a used briefcase she can give him instead of that paper.
Still that sad. We're going to have to share.
I had brought two of those little green books. But that's all right. So I would have a book, and Lonnie will have a book. And what we do is they say, well, this little book is called Beginning with Christ. And it's got five topics, and they're on assurance. And assurance of salvation. And I say, well, Lonnie, now you got saved when? And you tell me when he got saved. And I said, have you got any verses on your salvation experience? No. So what we're going to do is this little book's going to help us. So why don't you start reading there, Lonnie?
Jesus Christ said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. Coupled with this wonderful truth is the statement in the Gospel of John that to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12.
All right. And if you have, up to the best of your knowledge, received Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own Savior, according to the Scriptures quoted above, you have become a child of God in whom Jesus Christ dwells. Now, we will go through this and read this whole booklet together. It doesn't take but what? 15 minutes? 15 minutes to read through this book. Now, how many have seen this book before? Okay. Beginning with Christ, you can get it from Nav Press. All right, Navigators. On their website, you do the website, you guys know how to do technology, you can get this. They don't cost that much. You could buy a couple of these books and get started with your guy, okay? Meet with him with this book. I like this because it says what? What does it say? What's the title? Beginning with Christ, right. So there should be a beginning, right? Don't you think that's appropriate? Get, you know, don't start with a topical memory system. I've heard guys do that. That's not a beginning, Van. That's like advanced scripture memory. There, you're jumping way ahead of the class there if you start topical memory. So I never see that. Why that's? I say you never did this book. Wow, you need to do this book because it's got some basic principles. The first one is on assurance of salvation, and so inside here are some verse cards. They're perforated. All right. These, you can tear these out, and they're in different versions, too. How about that? When I went through this, there was only two versions that you could memorize, either King James or RSV. That was it. I started on the King James, decided my mouth can't work that way. So I looked over to the other side in the RSV, I said, yeah, that looks like something I can read. So I did that. And you memorize 1 John 5:11 and 12 with him at your first meeting. Help him. And the way, how do we do that, Lonnie?
We repeat a little bit at a time and then add a little more to it, but lots of repetition.
So, assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:11 and 12, and this is the testimony. 1 John 5:11 and 12. Assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:11 and 12, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. 1 John 5, and you can do phrase by phrase, word by word, doesn't, however you think works best for you. Don't get plugged into, just set into one way. This is the only way you do this. No, there's many ways to memorize. The key is to help him figure out which works best for him. So my verse, I got all my verses on my phone now. I've got a little scripture memory system set up on my phone. Some of you guys, younger guys, like that. You know, technology. I like it. I'm not a young guy. So, but that's the first one. Then the second one we do, that Lonnie and I would do together, is doing this little book here, Lessons on Assurance. Now, why I like this book here is because this book is made for a beginner. Why is it made for a beginner? Because in the back, there are all the verses to all the questions. Every question is in here. There's verse. You don't have to bring your Bible is the point. So a brand new Christian doesn't know their Bible very good. There it is. Just turn back here to this page. We'll read the verse back here. And then we can see that way we can focus on doing the Bible study. Now, we'll read through this. Just like we did with the Beginning with Christ book. And then we'll do the questions together. So we'll go in, and this has the bridge illustration in it, which is another reason I like this. So this way you go over the plan of salvation. John Crawford did this once with one of his elders in his church, in his home one day. And when they got done with this Bible study, is really nice because it asks this question at the very end. It says, how do you know you have eternal life? That question's in here. That's the application. All right? This is to which John's friend said, I don't know. Wow. So John said, well, would you like to know how you have eternal life? And the elder said, yes. And John had the opportunity to lead the elder to Christ right there using this Bible study. How about that? So well, you could get your non-unbelievers to go through this Bible. Hey, would you like to do a little Bible study with me? A little evangelism Bible study, see? You could do that with them. How about that? But all the questions are in here. And then next book we do is Lessons on Christian Living. This does not have the verses in there. By that time, after you've done five Bible studies with them, assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer, assurance of victory, assurance of forgiveness, assurance of guidance. Those are five topics. This one here has eight more topics in it. And if your pastor has a problem with that, you know, you can go to your pastor, and if he has a problem, he thinks you're doing some tricks with him, you know, hey, you're stealing guys from our church. You say, oh, no, pastor, look, I got there's a chapter on the church in here, man. And also there's one on giving. So do you want me to stop doing Bible study with these guys or what? Yes. Okay. And now there's a purpose between the two. So what am I doing when I show up with... See, and I showed up with Lonnie with just this book. Okay, what typically happens in a Bible study? Show up with this big book. It's huge. It's got a zillion chapters and stuff in it, right? And the guy looks at that and like, well, we're in a course. Well, there's no course here. I just showed up with this book, and it's only got five little verses in it. So that means we'll spend at least 5 weeks going through this, maybe going through this. Probably won't go through 5 weeks of this. We're going to do 5 weeks of this together. But that's the only Bible study he sees. Only one he sees for 5 weeks. And I'll throw in somewhere 7 minutes with God. And we'll read through the 7 minutes of God together. And we'll do a quiet time, a 7 minutes. It's only 7 minutes. If we could do 7 minutes at McDonald's, why not? It's easy. You go through the whole exercise, and you can do it in 7 minutes, and get them started on a quiet time. You do it with them. Do it with them. All right? Did I say that loud enough for you? Do it with them. So do the Bible study with them. Do the scripture memory with them. Do the quiet time with them, so that they get it. All right? Then it's none of this, you know. Oh, go take this home and read this thing. That's what happened to me. That guy led me to Christ. He gave me this little green book. Said, go read that and memorize the verse. Okay, well, that was helpful. You know, I think I read the book. I definitely memorized the verse because the guy asked me, did you memorize the verse? I said, oh, man, I didn't memorize it. I won't get caught the second time. I'll get that thing memorized. Do this, and these are the last thing, and we're going to close here. And that is the application. Dawson Trotman always had this question, which was, Mark, what was the question that Dawson Trotman used to ask?
I didn't meet him.
You didn't meet him. Okay. What was it, Lonnie?
Where's your man?
Everyone should have. There's a booklet called, there's these two books, Born to Reproduce and Need of the Hour. I would encourage you, if you've never read these books, read them. They're very powerful. There's messages out on the discipleshiplibrary.com. Dawson Trotman actually giving the message on Born to Reproduce. And this will shake you up. If you listen to them or you read them, if you listen to them, it'll definitely shake you up. If you read the book, it won't be quite as intense. But if you listen to them, you'll be repenting for at least 2 weeks. And I want to get after it, see? The need of the hour is good because he talks about, well, you know, the idea, well, I don't have the materials or I don't have the... And his point is, you don't need the tools if all you have is the Bible. Because that's all he had when he started guys out, was just the Bible. These tools came along later on as a help. As a help. You don't really need them. You can do it with just your Bible. Yes?
I wanted to mention, sometimes I tend to overnap because this time of year, putting a lot of the snap classics for 80% off to stop producing.
Did?
Yeah, because the Jim White's Christ Likeness and Lord's Saying, coming aside, but I'm not sure about Dawson.
Okay, appreciate it. Yeah, you might get them now because they'll be out of print, sounds like, very soon. So, and then the other one is, who is your Paul? If you don't have a Paul, you need a Paul. Pray for a Paul. And then once you get a Paul, get a Timothy. And then ask God to give you a man that's after his own heart. All right? Any other questions?
What was that blue one?
The blue one. Oh, Lessons on Christian Living? Yes. That you can get that on NAP Press, too. That's got 8 lessons in it. After you do the assurance one, go on to this one, because the first lesson in here is good. It's putting Christ first. So now you talk about, now we're saved, but now. Being saved from the penalty of sin. Well, this talks about being saved from the power of sin, by putting Christ first in your life. All right? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time this morning, and as we spent time listening to your word and just learning about how we as men need to go about the business of doing what Jesus did, and that was to invest his life in the life of 12 men. And Lord, that went on to a man by the name of Paul, who invested his life in a man by the name of Timothy. And today, all of us here sitting in this room are a result of that great commission that happened 2,000 years ago. I thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.